Praise his name. Let's stand together if you would. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, we're truly appreciative once again. Lord, your minds go back to the price you paid for us on Calvary. Lord, the blood that lays there fresh every day. And oh God, your many revelations that you grant to us and guide us. The times that you carry us on the path, Father, when we're too weak or too weary to go on. Lord, you pick us up and carry us. Father, the love that you have for us, Lord, goes beyond our understanding or our ability to describe to someone. But Lord, we are thankful and we're appreciative. And Lord, may we show our love back to you by keeping every commandment that you give. For Lord, that's what you said in your word. Now you know that you're my disciples, that we have love one to another. And Lord, you'd keep your word. We thank you. Have your way now. Bless everyone that's gathered in this morning. May you just have your way in every part of the service, we ask in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Always wonderful this morning. Just thinking about his love. Think about his goodness. Let's sing a little in our pamphlets there, loose leaves. Page 6, just a little chorus there. Think about his love. Praise his name. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. That has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, hallelujah. Think about his love. Oh, think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Amen. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Think about his love this morning. Has he done anything for you this week? Maybe he strengthened you when you're sad. Maybe he's showed you something in the word that you was lacking. Has he helped you this week? It's his love, you know. His grace to each and every one of us. Oh, he's so wonderful. Page 10, just over a couple of the same little things. Amen. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Hallelujah. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory. Just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, is it the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Is it the love of Jesus something wonderful,
wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love, it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Amen. Oh, is the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, is the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Amen. Boundless as the universe. No end to it. Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful. Praise his name. Page 46 in our Only Believe, if you'd like to turn there with me. Very little simple song that all describes it. Sunlight in your heart. Amen. Praise his name.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love bid all my darkness flee. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, amen, all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Though clouds may gather in the sky and billows round me roll, however dark the world may be, I've sunlight in my soul. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love with him. While walking in the light of God, I sweet communion find. I press with holy vigor on and leave the world behind. Oh, sunlight, sunlight, amen, sing it. Oh, sunlight, sunlight, all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love with him. I crossed the wide extended fields, I journeyed o'er the plain, and in the sunlight of his love I reaped the golden grain. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Oh, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of his face throughout eternity. Oh, sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Oh, sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love with him. Oh, sunlight, sunlight, amen, Lord, how I love you. Sunlight, sunlight, all along.
sunlight burning in your soul. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Just over page 29. I am resolved. You really experienced his love in your heart. Truly give you a resolve in your heart to serve him. Give him your all. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Oh, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Oh, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. Amen. Oh, he is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Oh, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Oh, friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will. Amen. Sing it when I miss. Amen. Oh, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Oh, heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. Amen. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Listen now. Oh, I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Oh, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, time. Oh, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Amen. Are you hastening to him? Amen. Lay this life down and run to him. Hallelujah. Time's short. Praise the name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Amen. That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I am determined, I made up my mind. I'll have something on your heart this morning, amen, a need, request, doesn't matter, he knows what it is. Praise his name, amen. Let's bow our heads. Brother Amos, would you take the request this morning?
Dear gracious Lord Jesus, we are so thankful once more, Lord, for your forgiveness. Hallelujah. Gather with my brothers.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you have a song this morning, Karen? Ask if you'd come.
God's grace and mercy is all I can seem to find. When I walk through valleys, climb mountains so tall, at times I slipped and stumbled, but his hand held on. He made a way for me. He carried me through it all. If it wasn't for his mercy and without him, I cannot imagine where I could have been. My mind can't begin to fathom the depths of his love. Oh, the love of God goes far beyond understanding. Amazing grace is all I can claim. How can I ever say how I appreciate, Lord, in my feeble way? I'll just simply say thank you, Lord. Tell me, why out of all the millions did he choose me? When there's so many others much worthier, it seems. No good deed can merit, no money can buy. There's no way to earn it. Regardless how you try, it's just predestination, it's only elective love. When I see such love extended, I hang my head and cry. I know I'm undeserving, yet how thankful am I? Such mercy, such grace, such love, I can't comprehend. Oh, the love of God goes far beyond understanding. Amazing grace say how I appreciate, Lord, in my feeble way. I'll just simply say thank you, Lord.
Amen. The love of God. Let's all stand, if you would. Sing a little chorus. Lord, I believe. Ask the little brother to come.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passed by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. He's here. Hallelujah. Amen. May we reach out this morning. Amen. Raise your hand. Sing that little chorus. I love Him. Amen.
I love him because he first loved me and purchased my
our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here today and so thankful for the mercy and the grace that you've shown us and for the desire that's brought us each one, Lord, to come. And Lord, I pray each one of us has come to asking you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. I may be the voice that's going to read from these pages, but Lord, it's your precious word. And Lord, if each one of us came in the Spirit asking you to speak to us, and we'll lean upon you, Lord, each one of us can find room today to climb and to grow higher and to grow greater in you. And Lord, we just want you to have your way this morning. We ask your blessings upon your word, upon these people. Lord, may each one of us just commit ourselves unto you, Lord, that you could speak to our hearts with these few words. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor that's due you. We love you and appreciate you and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, have done, and will do for us, Lord. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. So happy, thankful for what God's doing for us in this hour. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, I'd like to turn this morning to 2 Timothy there to read the first verse of Scripture. And 2 Timothy in the third chapter. Amen. Just a little text this morning. Pastor's not here today. I believe he's getting a little rest from his body, and we just ask the Lord to bless him and strengthen him. Amen. Everybody's entitled to a little break. Amen. And sometimes, you know, when you're a full-time pastor and work a full-time job, you don't always get much of a break. Amen. But God knows when and where and how to take care of each and every one of us, right on time. And this morning, each one of us should have come asking God to speak to us. Amen. And we're all each one looking for what God's got for us. Amen. And you know, this precious word should become more real to us. And that's the reality that's been lost in this day, is that it's God speaking to his people. And it's just become church time. It's become time to hear somebody bring a message. But no, it's God speaking to us. This is the way he set it in order for it to take place. Amen. And may each one of us truly be hungry for what he would have for us. Amen. Amen. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, let's read that 16th, 17th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. But just always remember that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. No man had anything to do with the things we're going to read today. God has given us everything that's written here today. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, if you would, and turn over to the 2nd chapter of the book of Hebrews and read a couple scriptures here. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and read the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And how we can see that God has spoken everything that we're going to read today has been of God, the inspiration that was given to bring all the word to us in this day in which we live. And then over there in the 4th chapter, he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, or revelation. And how important it is today, as we have gathered in here, in the age in which we're living, to make sure that we're not just receiving this precious word and just saying, this is okay, that's right, I know it's what he said. But the revelation, we need it to be mixed with faith within our hearts to understand what God is speaking to us. And we're living in a very solemn hour, an hour when the things are beginning to wrap up and we see the signs of the time all around us. And this world's getting set in its stage, and we realize that it won't be long till there's going to be a rapture and a catching away of that little bride. But we want to make sure that we're going to be one of them that's going to be raptured at that time. Amen. And that's why this precious word was put here, that it would furnish us to all good works. And that we would know without a shadow of a doubt where we stand with God. And each one of us, as our precious pastor has been bringing the message, the presence of God. And how it's wonderful, as he's mentioned it Thursday evening, that we feel that presence of God when we come in here. But is that presence of God recognized daily as being with us? Do people see it in us? Is it expressed that I have been with the Lord? You know, John and Peter, as they walked up to the gate, beautiful, and the lame man was there and they spoke to him, the people took notice that they had been with Jesus. That presence was obvious. Not just because they healed a man, but their lives had changed. Things were expressing out, showing. But we're living in a time when many people have forgot the reason we're here. And the churches of all throughout the land, the religion has become depressed, so to speak, and becoming a thing of the past. And the even good morals are gone. People don't even know what a moral standard is anymore. And we see all of this taking place around us. And there's a little bit of people in the middle of this that still has a standard to uphold. For we've heard the inspiration that the God has handed down and what a Christian should be in this hour and day and how we should be living and our lives should be conforming to this word and we should be an image of him. But old Satan's here to deform it and to tear it apart and to do all he can to deceive and to tear it down. But I would just like to read some of the things Brother Branham had said and left us on page as God led him to preach and bring. And this is in the message, A Door and a Door. And I want to read this. This is actually Revelations chapter 3, 3 and the 14th verse, and it's the message to the Laodicean church. And I want you to listen to this again this morning. We've all heard it many times. But he says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thou thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of knowing nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And how we find this situation so obvious. And as we begin to look through the word, we can see that people aren't hot for God like they used to be. We can look throughout the land and we can see the lukewarm state that the churches have got into. But we're here not to focus in on their lukewarmness, but to make sure that we do not fall into that lukewarmness. That we make sure that as individuals, it's wonderful to be able to have the revelation and to see and look that that's a cold state or their person's on fire for God. But what about ourselves? Let's bring it personal to us today. We're here as individuals before God. That's an individual race, and I set out to win this race. And each one of you should have that desire burning in your heart. And this is the state that the church is in. We know this is that last stage. And this is what God said that stage would be at this time. And we want to make sure that as he's speaking this, that we can look and see that, Lord, I'm not lukewarm, I'm not cold. But that's what's happening. Satan has crept in so easily and unawares amongst the churches. And it starts little here, little there. And we give a little, and they gave a little, and they give a little. And it finally, till God is totally forgotten about. And the word's been pushed aside till it means nothing. But we want to be a people that the word of God means everything to us. It is his spoken word still, that original seed. And it still brings life to each one of us. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that doesn't mean physically, but spiritually. Amen. Think about it. I counsel of thee. God speaking, he's saying, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see, and how we ought to cry out daily, that he would anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore, and repent. And oh my, if the word comes at any time, and I can see that it chastened me, and it rebuked me, but it brought forth a change in my life that was back to bringing forth the greater image of Jesus Christ in my life. How I ought to be zealous and repent and make sure that I give glory back to God for that he showed me my short places. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I give to set. Or grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And oh my, in this lukewarm hour that we're living, you don't see the overcoming anymore. You just see more worldlyism creeping in, people falling away, sliding away from the testimony that they once had, because they never truly had it to begin with. And that's the stage we want to be. You can come to church. And with this message, we have had it taught to us frontwards. We've had it taught to us backwards and every way in between. And we can all agree that a woman should wear a dress. We can all agree that a woman shouldn't cut her hair. But is there a revelation down in my heart that's telling me these things and explaining and letting me see why God wrote those things into this Bible? A revelation, someone just doing something because they're told to or because they believe that's the right way, is a totally opposite of someone that it's been revealed to of why they're doing the thing that they're doing. Anybody used to be able to make a sacrifice in the days of the Bible. But many of them, as the generations went on and it was lost to why they were making that sacrifice, it became unimportant to them. It was a ritual. This is what we do. This is why we do it. But oh my, you know, we was up in the Amish country this weekend and I saw an Amish girl come riding her and her husband on a bicycle. And you know, they wear dresses and their bonnets and oh, they look so Christian, as our pastor was speaking Sunday night. Oh, they can look so religious. And here she come up through there, and then all of a sudden, she's riding that bicycle right up through downtown, and her skirt was clean up around her waist, and her legs just a-flying out on that bicycle. She don't know why she's wearing a dress. She's involved in a man's creed that's all she's been taught, truly. She don't understand the word for her day. But that's where it comes back here. We can put a dress on, but do we understand what modesty is? Do we understand the basis of what we've been found to build upon, what God built this Bible upon, why a woman shouldn't wear anything that pertains to a man's apparel? We know we shouldn't, but does it as a revelation down on the inside that that's not pleasing to God, and why God's revealed these things to us? And that applies to everything. We can do everything we see fit that comes in our life that we think we should be doing, but is it a revelation to me? Am I resulting on that, or am I just relying because my church says I should, my pastor said I should, my dad said I should, my friends are doing it? It's got to be real to each one of us as an individual, or we're going to be a people that we won't be stable. We won't be rock solid in the Lord. We won't be the people that Brother Branham's fixing to speak about here in his prayer. And as he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says into church. And he says, with our heads bowed and our hearts, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank thee this morning, our gracious, noble God, that brought again the Lord Jesus from the dead and has presented him to us this morning in the form of the Holy Spirit, that's wooing our hearts as for a close walk with him. That as we see that day drawing to a close and the day of time is soon fading out into eternity, we're nearing the shores and we can hear the breakers. Oh God, this is a dangerous hour, as we read here. This is the last church age, the Laodicea. And that we're nearing the shore, and the riches and things of this world has blinded the eyes of the people. And oh, we pray, God, that our anchor will catch a hold of the rock of ages and wait for the dawn. Grant it, Lord. And that's our reason for being here, is that, Lord, let my anchor get held fast in your precious word. We're living in a time and a day where people have lost the reality of what the Scripture says, even in the Old Testament. We've lost the reality of why we rear our children according to the way of the Word. We must raise them up in the way that they will go, with correction and love and guidance. But do we understand what the Scripture says, or do we take the new modern trend? Well, it's not that important to take it this far. We don't need to worry about that. But we're to be watchful as parents, guarding. Does our pastor just let the church go and not worry about what's going on or coming in or going out? No, he's ever conscious to make sure that as a pastor, he's guarding this door to overwatch this little flock. And how, as brothers, we ought to be guarding our homes, watching, because that's where the devil begins to creep in. It brings a little thing here and a little thing there. And the children start doing this, or the children start doing that, and mommy and daddy let it go. And maybe it's a little girl starts wearing a dress that ain't quite appropriate, and pretty soon mommy says, well, it looks pretty nice on her, maybe I'll get it. And daddy don't say a word about it, and they let him. It starts into the church, and if the pastor don't say something, then it'll spread through that church like wildfire. And you watch, everybody's looking at everybody else. Saints, we've seen it for years. We know how it used to be. If somebody got new shoes, somebody else had to have a pair just like that pair. Yeah. And it went through. If somebody made a certain style of dress, somebody else had to have that same style. This is an individual affair of what God's revealed to your heart. You can't go on somebody else's revelation. Amen. You've got to live on what God reveals to you, and it will show forth if he's revealed himself to you. And the presence of God will be evident. Because if it's God in there that's revealed it to you, it will come back as a true manifestation and a glorification to God. And show that his word is truth. And that's the age we're living in. We're just not message followers, not churchgoers, but we're Christians, true Christians. And that's to be Christ-like. And to live in the honor of God. And that he would be represented well. And a witness for him on this last day. And that was in the message, Doors and a Door, preached February 23rd, 1963. Amen. This is in the message, The Investments, over here on page 9. And our Bible tells us in Revelation, the third chapter, that the church in this age is going to be identified just like this rich young Hebrew boy. He's talking about the rich young ruler. And have need of nothing. And this Laodicean age, if there happens to be ministers here, Bible readers, this is the Laodicean age. Because I am rich, set as a queen, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, poor, blind, and miserable. And naked, and don't know it. The sad thing is this scriptural quotation. And you've got to stop to think about it. Saints, we're living in an age where everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. They've heard the message. I heard the voice. But how deceived they are that they're not lining up to what God has said that would happen within that people's lives, that little bride. Brother Branham, totally, when he brought forth the word that God laid upon his heart, he laid out exactly what that little bride would look like, what she would be, how she would act. All the things, this word would be foremost in her life. This would be her first love. Not looking back to the things gone by or turning away to the things of the world, but as the days grew closer, she would become more of an oddball to this world, more focused to the things of God. But oh, Satan is so sly. He knows how to keep bringing that worldly stuff all around us all the time. You know, it used to just be the television, as our brother mentioned. I think he might even mention it Thursday evening. You take it, it used to just be the television. And Brother Branham said, blast that thing out of your home with a shotgun. And oh, but then Satan brought it into where the internet now. And most of us are required to have it for our jobs and be able to work. Now we all have the cell phones as they come in, and how the media and everything is constantly on it. It's used to be you might not eat, something could happen in the news and you wouldn't have known about it for weeks. But now it's on a minute-by-minute basis. You know everything that's going on all over the world. It's just flooding in, Satan trying to flood our minds and flood us out of what we were sent here for. But God's got a people that, being in this world, they're not abusing it, but they're using it. But they're still here with their main goal focused in on Him, that they're going to be in a rapture. They're going to leave this world. This is not our home. We're not getting satisfied and tying ourselves down here. But as each one, while we're here, we've got a job to do. Each one of us. Whether I'm a housewife or a husband, a deacon in the church, or whether whatever I am being or called to a child, young person, these words apply to me, and they must be lived out through my life. Every day, we must, as husbands, we must be the pastors of our homes. We must make sure our home is running according to the Word of God, not running it to the way I feel about it, the way my daddy said it could be, or some pastor said it should be, you should do this or that. It's got to be a revelation to me. That I can take that word into my home and I can sit down and teach my wife why we're doing what we're doing this way. I can teach my children I'm doing this because of this. God said, you know, when they begin to sacrifice that lamb, and it was really true to them. And I'm sure if you'd have been there when Abraham was teaching Isaac why they were having to sacrifice. And you could have heard him tell, this blood is the atonement for our sins. And this is keeping us covered. This was God's provision for us. Oh my, I'm sure Abraham, it was meant so much to him. He knew what it meant. And he was teaching that forward. But oh my, today it's we just wear dresses. We do this, we do that. We don't do this, we don't have TV. But oh, do we look down and dig deep and see if there's something else of this world that my children maybe are picking up, and it's changing the way they talk. It's taking this and then it just keeps creeping in and different items. But are we ever watchful? That it's not just, we just don't have TV, but everything that contains, we should be monitoring it through the Word. Oh my, we should be so careful to what we allow and what we accept and how our speech is affected by this world. That we're not anything or conforming to it in any way. And he says here, if a man or a person on the street was blind, naked, miserable, and poor, that would be a horrible sight. There is no one. But would run to them as quick as they could say, friend, you're naked and you're exposed. Come in quickly and let me give you some clothing and I'll take you somewhere and see if I can get a physician and they can restore your sight or try to do something for that person. And oh my, oftentimes as a pastor, maybe he can see something where we're naked. Maybe we're blind, we're missing something. And he runs and he's trying to be this person that we would be if we was to see someone like that in the natural. But how do we accept it? I have need of nothing. I'm good. How is our approach? Because as you see it throughout the land, if you speak about women's clothing, oh, forget it. We ain't got need of that. And oh, but they're blind to the word that has been come in this day. And we don't want to be the people that become seared to that ourselves to think, oh, it's okay. Everyone else is doing it. This is the majority. No. But we want to stay focused. We might be the last one that's holding to this. There was only two that made it out of, that came out of Israel. Out of Egypt, only two made it into that promised land. But oh my, they was stayed true in the determination and the revelation that was burning in their hearts, seen them through into that promised land. And that's the way it's got to be for us. It may come down, there may only be one rise out of here. Is it going to be you? And will you hold that standard to the word, to what God has revealed to you? Amen. He says, but what if you met such a person as that? They would turn around to you and tell you to tend your own business. They don't even know that you're in that condition. And now if you're that way and know it, it's not too bad. But But when you're that way and don't know it, that's the bad part. You can't tell them. And how we've seen it, saints, and how you see it more and more. People become so self-sufficient. They do their life in a ruling manner. Women don't want to lose their say. They don't want their husband to have full rulership. They still want their say. We see all of this, and that's the little foxes. It's wonderful to be able to say, I understand the mysteries, and I know all about this. But our life is the representation that the revelation that we the words that we heard is being accepted and revealed and manifested through our hearts. But oh my, oftentimes people say, oh yeah, I understand that. And their life is so far from it, you can tell they didn't understand it. And that's why, as our brother has been bringing the presence of God, how we should pay attention, because there's a revelation there that we're lacking. And we need it greatly. And we better cry out to God, Lord, open my understanding greater to your word. God don't have a new thought about nothing, but he continues to reveal himself all now and will throughout eternity. And every day we should be growing, climbing higher, more like him. Amen. This is in the Hebrew book over on page 258. Amen. And very familiar. I'm just going to start here at the top of the page. Let me make sure. He says, you've heard the old story. Your life speaks so loud. I can't hear your words. So whatever you are, you are. The life that you live shows what kind of spirit is in you. And then you may impersonate the wrong thing or impersonate the right thing. And you may impersonate a Christian, but there will by and by come a time when the strain will be put on and it'll show what you are. A chain is as strong as its weakest link. When Christ, the Son of God, was put to the test, it showed what he was, sure. When you're put to the test, it'll prove what you are. Your life always reflects what's on the inside of you. By and by, but be sure your sins don't find you out. That's what we're trying to say. Jesus said in St. John 5:24, he that heareth, not he that shaketh, he that speaketh, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he hath eternal life and shall never come to judgment, but is passed from death unto life. It's your faith, and your faith confessed by your lips, make manifest to the people that can hear. But your life is open before all. So no matter how much you try to act this and do this, it'll never work. It's got to be in you. That's the real kernel of the whole story. Your personal faith in the resurrected Christ as your Savior, that he is the right hand of God acting in your place this morning, as you're acting in his place down here as a witness. And a witness is to act instead of somebody stand for you as a witness. As your life reflects here what your testimony is in Christ, it reflects there. And reflects both there and here. By your faith, you're saved in that alone. See, sensations, emotions, feelings, anything has no place at all in it. Now, don't think wrong that I do not believe in these emotions, certainly. But what we're now trying to drill to this people this day is not emotions. The devil has took those things and went wild with the people, letting them base their eternal destination upon an emotion. Shouting, speaking with tongues, going to church every Sunday, acting like a Christian. And that won't have one bearing at that day. Except a man be born again, and your life reflects what you are on the inside, see? Not your emotions. You can have blood in your hands, you can speak with tongues, you can heal the sick, and you can move mountains with your faith, and you're nothing yet. 1 Corinthians 13, see, it's got to be something happened by a birth which comes from God. And God brings a new birth into you and gives you a part of himself, and then those things are, you are a new creation. And how that is what we need to see happen more and more as we look through the land. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has become, people get to sanctification and they're content, and that's where they want to stop. They don't want to go on to receive that new birth. That you can clean up your life, you'll quit drinking, smoking, all these things, Brother Branham said. You can set your house in order, but you're not still right. You still have to go and receive the new birth. And when that new birth comes in on the inside, it will make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. It will change your attitude, your Amen. Thoughts, the way you approach every situation in life. Amen. It will turn you to a different direction and make you something. And your life will bear out that he's on the inside. Amen. Amen. The Bible does not lie. The scriptures was written by inspiration of God. And the book of Acts was placed there to show that when God made that decision and he come on the inside that day on the day of Pentecost, when he separated himself and came down in that upper room on the first believers, oh my, it made a reality and a change in their life like no other. Amen. And that's the change we need to see in our life. We can come to church, we can dress up the old outside, but what's the inside still look down on the inside? Is my thought still contrary to the word? Though I may look like a Christian out here, what am I thinking? What is the inside saying? But you get it right on the inside, it'll be amen every time to the word. There'll be nothing out of tune. It'll line up 100%. Amen. Every word should be so important to us. And you know, we often ought to take into consideration that Everything I do bears reflection on me as a Christian. From the way that I take care of my home, to the way I raise my children, to the way I am with my wife, to the way I am on the job, everything, every day of my life, every situation I travel through, people are watching me. Amen. People are looking to see. And if I say I'm a Christian, then they know the Bible. And they're looking back through these scriptures and trying to find one place they can put a finger and say, he ain't a Christian. But our goal wasn't to be here, but our goal was to give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And he will live this life through us that we can't live ourselves. And they won't be able to put a finger on that life if he's living it through us. But if we're trying, there'll be holes all through it and places they can point and say, he ain't a Christian. He ain't a Christian, and we're not. But let God get on the inside and let this precious word become so real to us. Everything we do, we'll think about it. It'll be on our mind constantly. As I go to do this, Lord, are you going to be satisfied? Are you going to get glory? Are you going to be pleased? Am I satisfying you in this? How am I in this over here situation? But do we ever think about that, or it's all about our own personal gain and what we want to do and how we feel about life in general? And this doesn't matter. That's not important. But yet maybe in God's eyes, that thing's really important.
Amen.
Oh my, we ought to stop and really weigh up. You know, as we look at our... The Bible says to be that to consider the ant and not to be lazy. And how do people perceive me? Do they perceive, oh, I work every day, Brother Tim? That's right. I do too. But how does the world perceive me? Do they see me as a lazy person? I'm somebody that's showing up at my job every day, but really they know down deep it's slowful, it's slothful. He's not trying to do the best that he can, because we're to do all things as unto the Lord. And that's even taking care of our worldly goods here. We should do it as if that belonged to the Lord and he let me borrow it for this amount of time. We should take care of it just that way. And how those things should be burning in our hearts with a reality every day of our life. Our lives is a reflection of the heavenly. And we should be bearing record that he is alive and living in a people, and that everything we do, every decision, it can be based and look and shine back up through that precious word. Amen. You know, oftentimes it's even, you can take it down to the smallest thing, raising animals. You just take that, you know, maybe I got a little bitty dog I'm raising up. But there's words and scriptures that pertain to taking care of your beast of the fields and things. There's words in here for us to live by. Words that we don't even know exist sometimes, because we don't take the time to go back and find them. We don't take the time to sit down and study this, as our pastor's been expressing. Study this. Look back and read it. There's scriptures in there that we lack, some of us, because we don't go back and find it. And that's no excuse. We will be without an excuse because God's left it for us. And how long have we had this Bible? How long have we had these books? But you know what? It's our personal opinion. I was raised this way. It's okay. That's how my daddy did it. I'm going to do it that way. My mom, that's what, just the same attitude that got the denominations into the place they are. My daddy was a Methodist. I'm going to be a Methodist. If you're born of God, you don't have a right to be nothing but Jesus Christ made alive and real in this flesh. This word has to be alive, and it must be real, and it's got to come back to a reality and creeds and ideas of how we were raised. Yes, we're human beings, but we've got a heavenly home, and this world's not our home, and we need to start acting like it just a little bit more and show God that we're serious, that we're going to leave this world.
Amen.
Amen. We get so wrapped up in the life and the way things are done and have been done, but that don't mean that's the way God wanted it to be done. Amen. We need to search our lives. We've got higher rungs, every one of us. There's higher places. As I was reading these things and meditating, and I was asking God, Lord, show me in my life. I know there's room to grow. There's higher heights. Hey, man, each one of us can climb a higher rung. Each one of us can be more in tune with what God's wanting, more in the Spirit, more in tune with him. Hey, man. Hallelujah. You know, it used to be back in the old Pentecost, this last day Pentecost, and you can hear the brothers talk of, they used to have church 7 nights a week. And everybody was there, showing up. And you know, when you stop to think about that, they didn't have time for nothing else. That's all they had time for, was to go to work, make a living, and go to church and have God renewing their minds to what was taking place. They were in tune with what was happening at that time, those that were genuine. But how much, I wonder if we was to say we were going to have service every night of the week, how many of us could show up every night? How many of us would have a desire to keep saying, oh, that's right, I'll be there every night? It's a checking up pointer to what I got to do this at home, and I got to go do that, and I need to go here. But where's our desire? God knows. God knows each one of us, as I mentioned it, what our thoughts would have been to what he would want if that's the case. He searches the heart. He knows us inside out. And that's the thing. He knows this totally from beginning to end, how we are. But oh my, what's he seeing in us? Is he seeing that people that's sincere? Does he see a people that's concerned with the presence of God being so real and alive to us? That we see him here, we know he's there wherever we walk. He's in us, and we're conscious of that with everything that we do. He's taking him with us. Maybe I would have something at home. Maybe I would say, I'd be embarrassed for you to come into my home because I have this or I have that. I wouldn't want so-and-so to come because I wouldn't want him to see this. But God's there all the time. And that's your brother. God's dwelled within him. That's your sister. God's dwelled within her. And if that was something in there that you would want to hide from them, don't you think, how would you feel if God knocked on the door? Oh my, do we take it into that consideration? God sees us all the time. He knows what we're doing with everything he's given us and how much it means to us. Amen. Everything here is borrowed. Just help remind me, dear Lord. Amen. It's his. Hallelujah. And by mercy, by his grace, he has allowed me to have this, that, different things to use while I'm here. And let me remember that, as Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Amen. May we always remember that. Amen. This is in the message. Just one more time, Lord. He was speaking about Samson. I'm not going to read. We all know the story of Samson. But he says, Samson would stop. See here. Well, paragraph 59 on page 11. Now he thought of his great days were great days, and the church tonight is thinking about 15 years ago to the revival of divine healing and the victory in his people who had failed. And that ought to be serious enough that Samson would stop and think he had failed God. It wasn't God's fault he was defeated. And if we're sitting here tonight and I feel defeated in my walk with the Lord, it's not God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that Samson was sitting where he was. He says, it wasn't God's fault he was defeated, it was his own fault. And the people, God's people, who was raised up to preach the gospel to the people in his strength, by flirting with the flappered woman, immoral woman, he had lost all of his strength that God had given him. And so it has been with the church. God raised the church up to be a lighthouse, to let his powers to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Now we could stop right there. And leave it at that. That's what God raised this church up for. But that ain't where Brother Branham left it. But to live holy, and to preach the gospel, and to manifest it. But we began to creep and let down the bars. We took the wrong example. The women act like the pastor's wife. He let her go haywire, cut off her hair, wear any kind of sexy clothes, never rebuked. And the other one says, it's Sister So-and-so can do it, I could do it. Don't make that your example. God told you what to do, and stay with that. And that's the way we've got to see God give us his decision on everything. But it's not God's fault when things are falling apart for us. It's our fault. And we need to look back and say, Lord, where did I lose target? Where did I get off track? Where did I lose that close walk that I had with you, the desire that's brought me this far, Lord? I want to get it back and be right in tune with what you're doing in this hour, moving. But oh my, how we should. Amen. Hallelujah. I had the church age book with me. I must have left it out there in the vestibule. Amen. Let's see here. But I won't read it, but in the church age book where he talked about the Ephesian church age, holiness wasn't just a phrase to them. It was a way of life. And how some of us need to go back and really search out what holiness is. Godliness, to be godlike, and pray and ask God to open our hearts to these things. And when I say that, I don't just mean that for here, but anyone that's listening to me. The churches have forgot what holiness is. The Pentecostal people forgot what holiness was when they begin to denominize and move away. And the same thing has crept over into the message churches. And they've lost the meaning of what holiness was. And God said, be ye holy as I am holy. Be with his righteousness we should be clothed. And how these things we should, each one of us, weigh our lives. What am I doing? What am I? How is my life bearing? What do they see? What do people see in my reflection of everyday living? Amen. Do they see Jesus Christ, or do they just see someone that's just another human being on this earth? Maybe they go to church. Maybe they this. Maybe they that. But do they see something different that's down on the inside? I don't know about that person's God, but they've got something that I don't have. And oh my, if we could get to that place where the presence of God could have that much preeminence in our lives, and we could be so surrendered to Him that people can truly come in contact with you and truly see that you've got something that they're lacking. Even the places we've come from, that's what they need to see, that you've got something that they don't have. It's a reality in your life that's not in theirs. Words can spew, you can say all you want, you can hug people, you can tell them you love them, that don't mean nothing. You got to show them that God is real and alive. He's got to see it in you. Not the same person we was 15 or 20 years ago, but it's got to be a new person and new life in there that's expressing out. Amen. That I've left the world. I'm not letting getting more worldly and not letting the world creep in and climb all over me. But no, I was sent here for a purpose, and I'm here to finish this work that God has left for me. Amen. And our lives should be expressing that fully out to this world and to this people. Oh my. You know, sometimes we need to stop and think, what am I letting in? What is creeping into the world? What's climbing in on my back? Where have I given my time to? What, paying a little more attention to maybe what words my children's using, what my wife maybe is doing. Pay attention. As husbands, that's our duties. Amen. As mommies, that's our duties to watch our children and make sure what they're doing and what they're touching. Make sure that it's lining up and training them up in the way they need to go. It comes back to we got to be a people that can manifest every word. That's laid out in this Bible. It's not just being, oh, I'm a message follower and I got the mysteries and I'm going to heaven. I'm a son of God, always have been. That's good and that's a wonderful revelation to know and have burning in your heart. But if it's truly there, your life will back up every other word in that Bible 100% from Genesis to Revelation. If it was a scripture spoken of what that little bride would be in this last day, your life will be a representation of it. Amen. Amen. It'll be real. Hallelujah. Amen. This is in the Message Shalom. Hallelujah. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. Let's see. What does it mean? This is on page 18 in the Message Shalom preached January 12, 1964. What does it mean? God has begun to separate light from darkness. We see it pressing it behind like He did in the beginning to show the dawn of a new day. The church ages are fading out. Pardon me, the church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organizations and fade out the world. And the world is covering the thing over, and worldlyism has took the whole thing. Then isn't God right by worldly things and worldly dressing, worldly acting, and worldly living? It's the world. But you're not of the world, little children. You're of heaven. And this is not your home. Why should I look to us older people, try to look back and get young again? We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back. Looking here what has been, we want to know what's going to be. We're looking for that hour and pressing for it. So many good, sincere people today are caught away in these creeds and these churches and organizations, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, says so. And we got to bring that down to us. We could be that people. We could be so sincere and have, but we can fall into that category setting right here. That don't mean the word's wrong. That don't mean the pastor's wrong. But as individuals, we can fall into that category and think we're not. And that's the scary part of this age, is we must make sure and cry out to God, Lord, show me my short places. Stay humble in humility before God that He can lift you up. And he says here, so many good, sincere people today are caught away in these creeds, these churches, organizations, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Gross darkness, blinding of Israel, was for the lightning of the Gentiles. And now the blinding of the Gentiles is the lightning of Israel. It's just like day and night. One side has got darkness and the other side has got light. And then the light comes over to the other side. The moon passing away, it did the reflection of darkness and the world blinding out its light. It's a reflection to us that the Gentile church age is finished. The church is making herself ready. Been making herself ready for a time. It's time for the rapture, for darkness is fading upon the Gentiles and dawn will soon break upon the Jews. The sun has traveled from the east to the west, and we're on the west coast. The light can only do one thing, go back east on the other side. You understand. The light can only go back east again to where it began. God blinded them for a while, but the darkness now is pressed upon the Gentiles. Let me drop on down as he has shown. Good people caught in this thing, good people, sincere people like Mary and Joseph. They were very sincere, see, thinking he was with them when he wasn't. Mary and Joseph, you know, when they went up to the feast, Jesus at the age of 12, they thought, presuming he was with them, but he wasn't. Good people today think the same thing. these people that's organized in this council of churches, these people in these organizations, they think they're doing a good thing. They're presuming he's with them when they're not. Many people think that. And they got signs and wonders. And oh, they think he's so with them. They see they can jump, shout, scream in the spirits. And they think he's with them. Good people, sincere people. But they miss the mark. And may we not fall into that category that we think he's with us when he's really not. And I believe that's what our pastor has been stressing. Oh my, we should know that he's with us. And if he's with us, it will be evident that he is with us. Amen. They're doing a good thing. They're presuming he's with them when they're not. See, many people think that he was with them when they shook hands with the preacher, put their name on the book, but he wasn't. Many people thought they were when they were sprinkled, confirmed, and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, thinking he was with them. They're good people. Mary and Joseph was good people. But the fact was, he wasn't there. Don't presume anything. And oh, how we ought to cry out to God that we would truly see that overcoming that should be in our lives. We should truly see that my life is in tune 100% with this precious word, that I'm not lacking, but I'm searching out my salvation with fear and trembling. And how we should truly rise to that. It's wonderful to come here. God has a provided way for us to come here. The word comes and show us our short places to help us climb, to grow, whatever we have need of. But God didn't want us to be lazy in the aspect of studying this either. And that's the part we need more and more of, each and every one of us, is a closer walk with him daily, living closer to him. That, Lord, show me where I can be more like you. Oh my, I pray it will strengthen you and encourage you, but stir your heart a little bit. But don't be caught up just because we look better than, maybe your life looks a little better than so-and-so over there. Don't think that means you're perfect and right. But there's higher heights always. And as long as we're in this world, there's room for us to climb. And don't never set your eye on somebody else and say, well, I'm doing it like he's doing it. That's good. That person might be doing something by a revelation. And you don't have the revelation. It'll fall apart for you. It will never work. But God, you put your eyes on God and let God reveal it to you. And then you do it. And don't just move of your own accord. That's what he said. That's what I'm... Make sure you move according to what when God reveals it to you. Amen. You know, so many times... In the times past, we've seen it with different words. And many times, worldlyism began to creep in. And pastors tried to rule with an iron fist. I'll make this happen. I'll make people this. And stuff began to be hid more than it ever was. And things got hid, and this went on, and that went on. But all day we wore dresses, and all the everything looked so right. That church, our church is just so perfect. But it's not. And I mean that in a way to say the word has to change you. And the word has to come inside. And we can try to make it look like I don't have any problems. Everything's perfect in my life. But be honest with God and be honest with yourself. If there's a revelation lacking, don't try to cover it up. Don't try to hide it. But be honest with God. Lord, I need help with this thing. There's something lacking in my life. But oh, if you, that self-righteous spirit, I don't need nothing. I'm good. This ain't for me. But let's be honest with God. Lord, I need you. Oh, more than I ever have. But oh my, each one of us, let us focus in on our own lives and measure our own selves. Don't put your eyes on anyone else but yourself. Lord, what's on my doorstep? My brother may have many things on his doorstep. My sister might have many things on her doorstep. But one thing on my doorstep makes me in the same boat that other brother or sister is in. Lord, help me, Lord, to make sure that I am living upright justly before you. And Lord, that I am in tune with what you've got for me. Amen. The human nature is so quick to judge, so easy to pass off. You know, but each one of us have a place to look and to climb. Lord, help me, Lord, lest I perish. Amen. I want to know it's getting close, saints. One of these days we're going to leave this world. And by God's grace, I pray each and every one of us are standing there on that day. It's going to be a shouting time. Hallelujah. Crying time or rejoicing time. Amen. What a day it's going to be. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. Pray you was able to take something from it and help you in a way along the way. You know, we each one got high. Amen. There's a little course that's on my heart. It's in the Only Believe book there. Amen. I sing this little course a lot to myself. And it just kind of, it's simple, but I kind of like it. Amen. Page 54. Amen. Let's sing this before we dismiss. Amen.
listen to these words. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all.
In this man's place,
dying feet rejoice to see that found a man in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wore shall my sins away. And
that dying thief that day when Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Yeah. Oh, my. But then as I think down there, it says, "Ever since by faith I saw that stream." Amen. That covered me. Hallelujah. Oh, my. There is a fountain. Glory to his name. He is so real, so precious, saints. I love him. Thank him for his precious word and what he's doing for us. Amen. And I pray that God will just continue to and let us become so yielded to him and so in tune with him that we would be a people that would be more like the book of Acts was. A people that can truly be moved and led by the Spirit to do what God wants done. And it happened in being God glory and him be glorified through it. It's not all about signs and wonders, but just being God, having his way in whatever it would be. Amen. Anyone else got a course on your heart before we dismiss? Amen. We won't have service this evening, Lord's will. Give you a chance to spend some time with your families. Amen. But hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. I love him. Let's just sing that one more time and have Brother Philip come dismiss us.
Praise the Lord. You say amen to his word.
Amen.
Amen. That was me. I enjoyed that.
Yes,
amen. Amen. You know, we can't look at somebody else. I'm trying to get to see. You can't look at nobody else. You can't copy after anybody else. Amen. The sisters say, "Well, she wears dress like this. She wears this material." Amen. Don't always work that way for you. Your shape might be different. You might wear the same material. Make your dress the same way. And that material will expose your form. The brothers, they might think, "Well, this brother, he goes fishing all the time and he goes hunting all the time. I can do that. He does it." Well, maybe that brother can go fishing all the time, hunting all the time, and still take care of his family and do what's right and teach his family and everything. You might not be able to do it. We have to look at the Word. We have to go to the Bible.
Amen.
And see what it says. Amen. Amen. Don't copy after anybody else. Don't copy because this one says that and this is that. Hey, what about you? We're the one that has to conform to that Word. That's for my life. You have to live what God shows you in that Word. You can't look at anybody. You can't look at your pastor. You can't look at Brother Timothy. You can't look at Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. Well, that's all right. It's all right. No. No. It's what that Word's saying for my life. What about me? What about my life? How I live? Oh, my. Anyhow, I enjoy it. Everybody else
can.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be here today, Lord. We thank you for your word today and how that you've spoken to us through the brother. And, my God, how that you've given him the word for us today, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that we'll really see, Lord, what you're trying to tell us in this hour, Lord, that we can't look to nobody else and nothing else but your word. Oh, God, your word is God speaking to us today. That's all we have to lead us and guide us. We didn't walk with Jesus. We didn't see him in person. But he left his word here to become a living way for us to live and show us how to live and how to walk in our individual lives, Lord. Not what others live or how others live, but how we live. Oh, God, that's what's going to count, Lord. How we live. How we live day by day. How we live by your word. Not how somebody else lives or how somebody else walks or how somebody else does. Oh, God, it's how that you lead us by your word to fulfill your word in our lives. Pray, dear God, that you just bless us today as we depart from this building, this house of worship, Lord, and just keep us through thy love and mercy and grace as we go throughout the rest of the day and throughout the week, dear God. Lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, through and by your word, how you want us to live, Lord. And my God, how you want us to do, Lord, that we might be in obedience to your word, Lord. We ask these things now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Appreciate you.
Thank the Lord for you. God bless you, Richard.
Amen.
Amen.